And welcome into a new episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Well, we're recapping the USDA reports that came out on Thursday. Quarterly grain stocks, prospective plantings. It was the end of the month, end of the quarter, end of the trading week. A lot thrown at the markets on Thursday ahead of a three-day holiday weekend. Joining us now for market analysis, Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing. And Brian, thanks for being with us. Let's start. Corn acre number, 90 million, below expectations. Again, end of the month, end of the quarter, end of the trading week. A lot of data at these markets. Your thoughts overall to start kind of a crazy end of the week with a lot of news for the markets, wasn't it, Brian?
That was a mouthful. Yeah. there's a lot of data today, right? A lot of numbers. Yeah. And so the market moves into these with anticipation and position squaring or whatever you want to call it. Then the market has the numbers and then it deals with the numbers. And then usually by the end of the day, you got a pretty good feel for it. And I think the market responded appropriately. You got a corn acreage number that was a surprise and a stocks number that was less than the average estimate. Mm-hmm. And you kind of put those two together by my math. If we 2 million acres less, that very round numbers, 150 bushels an acre, just round numbers. That's 300 million bushels. And then about 100 million on the stocks, about a 400 million bushel swing. You're going to get some support usually in a case like that. And we saw that corn didn't waste any time jumping up about 20 cents. And then I think, and this is a guess on my part, but I think there were a lot of farmers who felt pretty badly the last few days about not having the corn sold the last time it rallied up in this area. I'm guessing there were a lot of trigger orders up there that got hit, or farmers just sold some corn today just to sell a rally and gain that daily victory. So good numbers on corn. I would say I would call the numbers neutral on wheat and or on beans, and I guess I'd call it neutral on wheat too, about as expected. But corn was the big winner today. It's not a game changer, but it certainly changes the trend and projection of carryout, and does make one pause a little bit, thinking, well, what if this El Nino does flip to La Nina, and what if we don't have good weather, and this and that. So long-winded, but yeah, some big numbers today and big reports.
Yeah, well, and thinking about this too, as you kind of looked at all the numbers, the dust settles and we plug things into the balance sheets and more, on corn, that May contract, I think got a close above the 50-day for the first time since October, I feel like. And so I think to your point, Brian, saw some farmers selling maybe, also maybe some fund short covering here. It looked like the fund activity was pretty substantial in corn as well on Thursday. So I guess for me, and I'll ask you, as we get into next week, what could we maybe think about if there's any follow through, things like that? I mean, this kind of resets the goalpost, so to speak, for us for a few months, doesn't it, Brian?
It does. So instead of some sort of a negative report pile driving the market down and really, reflecting this endless supply, all of a sudden you have to pause a little bit and think, now that these reports are behind the market, though, the market's going to search for news, and there's not much on tap in the short term. Mm-hmm. So you'll see the market reflect maybe the idea of planting progress, what kind of pace that it'll be. Prices did, to your point, we saw the May contract close above the 50-day moving average for the first time since fall. So you're right on that. And if you think about that, it's the average price for 50 days. So when you're above that, there's a little bit of a momentum change there. So instead of the down, now it's sideways, maybe a little higher. How weather goes in the planting season might actually determine more or less acres. So right now, the 6 to 10 day does show pretty much the entire Midwest below normal in precipitation. Looks like it's going to be a little cool, but probably nothing to inhibit a good start to the plant compared to. You got to compare it to something. Let's say we just had a really wet pattern out there. The market might get more excited. I don't see that wet pattern right now.
Looking a little closer at some of these numbers, I know drops in the corn acreage over 300,000 acres. Some of the key I states were on that list: Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, South Dakota. We look at these numbers as a whole, and I just wonder, I mean, your thoughts where some of these acres maybe shifted to a little bit, Brian? I mean, just everything from spring wheat to durum to cotton, you name it. Any thoughts, any chatter on where maybe some of these acres have kind of moved around a little bit from just beyond what we could see on the surface, Brian?
Sure. So let's just review on the surface. Basically, we saw corn acres disappear to bean acres and some wheat acres disappear. So where do they go, right? Well, in that 500,000 acre window for cotton, and then highly probable into specialty type crops, in particular in the fringe areas. What was interesting, though, with the drier fall that was experienced, and corn prices still holding at a pretty good level into the October window, that it seemed like field work was rapidly advanced and really kind of kept the farmers into their rotation. But we did see some of that switch out of the I states. Now, what I think that is reflective of, or some of the core states, that's a reflection of just what it costs to grow corn. And the idea, I want to go to a least costly alternative. And that's not everybody. It's a small percentage, but you only need a small percentage change for 1 million acres. So if you get 90 million acres, 1/90th is a small percentage, or 2/90th. So it's not every cornfield you drive by. It's 1 out of 100 or 2 out of 100 that may have gone to bean. So that's the reflection that I would have, is that from a cost perspective, when you look ahead, it looks like it could be an expensive year. It's not unusual for human nature to kick in and for many people to kind of think about a less costly alternative.
Yeah, and that's good thoughts there for sure. And those quarterly stocks numbers, I'll just pull those up on our video feed real quick.
There you go.
But again, those, I mean, you know, I think all of that not surprising just with the way the acreage numbers were, Brian. I mean, I know corn was down some, I think 80 million, and beans and wheat were up 17, but I think this all kind of comes into what you've been talking about here as we kind of reset the goalposts a little bit.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say today's reports are a game changer, but the interesting thing on corn, I think a lot of people were holding their breath thinking, oh boy, you know, what if we don't see farmers shave much off of corn? What does that really look like for ending stocks? And do we push the envelope of 2.5, 2.6 on carryout? And probably right now, even with 181 yield, even though we lost acres, you're probably still looking at maybe a couple hundred million bushel increase to carry out around 2.4. So it's not time to get all, you know, celebratory on this idea that corn prices are in a position to just rally and be a bull market. But certainly enough reflection has to come back to say, we just kind of put a little dent in the side of the bear's argument here. And if you throw a little weather at it, that dent's going to get bigger pretty quick.
All right. Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing joining us here on American Ag Today. I'm Jesse Allen reporting.